Hi, welcome everybody to our December rug meeting. We have a couple strange faces, unordinary faces, inordinary faces. Bob is back from Baltimore area, right?
Brent
is back from Charlottesville.
Oh, really?
Yes, right. And we have a visitor from Greensboro, North Carolina. Bob Orr is back here. His first time at a rug meeting. You know, run back to this, give him a hug or what, Mike? Hey, we're all over it. Been around too long. Anything else exciting going on? Anybody? No. Well, it is December.
I said I want to stay in California.
You went to California and came back. That was your mistake, huh? Let's go to fall in the ocean soon anyway.
Good morning, before I turn it over to Clyde, I'm going to repeat the welcome of Bob Hortis, who's up from North Carolina, and he has a website that is quite marvelous, and he's been working with PNG and websites, and is going to talk a little bit after the break to us about his experiences. Welcome. I also want to mention about forthcoming programs. That in January, John Clark is going to be giving a presentation on reports. And then in February, Jan is going to lead a program on the layout. That's the chapter 10 in Terry Regal's book. We're looking for a volunteer to help with her, help her do that. And if you are prepared to volunteer to give the presentation or come up with the works, the examples, and workshop ideas that we need, let me know. Let Jan know during the break, please. After that, we get into the very important area of sentences, which is chapter 11, and then we go on to witnesses and roles. Those are subjects that are extremely important, and some of you I know a lot about those. And if you are prepared to take over the program, I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we're really fortunate to have this second site presentation from Clyde. So over to you, Clyde.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. As you can see, I've got several icons on my screen here. I'll come back to it towards the end if we have time. A couple comments. I usually put Windows Explorer in my lower left, no matter what computer I work on, whether it's at work or at home. I put an editor, text editor, up in my upper right so that I can simply, most cases, just drag from Windows Explorer, whatever directory it is. I just drag it up there and it opens it up. I do have some other programs, as you can see on here. Some of those are command prompt based, DOS based, the old DOS programs. And then, as you can see, usually have my browsers at the top, a couple other utilities, and so forth. UrfanView is a nice little graphic viewer, and then GIMP is a image processing program that came over from Linux. That runs on Windows, and it's interesting if you're really into working manipulating graphics images. Of course, OpenOffice is the freeware open source equivalent of Microsoft Office. Okay, just to whet your appetite a little bit, I do have some second site materials which I'll get to in a few minutes, but. We'll just show some results of what you can see with Second Sight created files. Second Sight creates .htm or .html files. HTML is a markup language which we'll get to in a couple of it's in this presentation. As you can see, I load up several tabs. Most of these aren't going to connect to the internet because I'm not connected. But this one over here is the one we want to look at. This is the Denton Herndon family genealogy. This is what Second Sight creates. You can create either text or icon-based links. This person also added a counter to his website, and the rest of it was there. Looks like he may have his website on ancestry.com. Anyway, we'll get to those a little bit later, but now let's go to our presentation. If you have any questions, feel free to interrupt me at any time. I'll try to answer if I can. Otherwise, I may put it off to a later point when we are doing something, actually demonstrating something. Okay, I'll show you a copy of Dick Cleveland's web pages. These are the websites where he stores his information. Notice it's got a .info URL. I'll get into the kinds of URLs that you can get to and pay for. His original presentation back in 2002, this is a link to it. It is not a PowerPoint presentation. He used some software to create basically a slideshow. Also, although this presentation started with Dick's updated presentation, it now includes information from John Cardinal's NGS presentation of May 2003. However, John Cardinal has developed a couple of major updates to Second Sight, so a lot of that stuff was just interesting as background. Okay, so website creation with Second Sight. First of all, it creates a set of HTML files. And what does HTML stand for? It stands for Hypertext Markup Language. And the reason it's called hypertext is because all those links that you see in all your web pages and the web pages that you go to are called hyperlinks. They link between and among pages on the internet, or in some cases on your own system. Anyway, we're going to look at website creation. As we see here, you only create the HTML pages. You do not actually create a website, but however, we're going to show you how to do that too. A couple of alternatives to Second Sight are GEDCOM HTML generation programs. We'll look at a few of those. Just mention them, not actually see the output. And of course, TMG. We'll look at TMG V7's output. Once you've created the output file or created the HTML files, then you can create your website. How do you do that? First of all, you have to acquire a server. As you noticed before, Dick Cleveland's was cleveland.info. The actual server is I don't know where. Maybe you can get your own URL, just as Dick Cleveland did. He has cleveland.info. Then you upload your website files, or alternatively, you can create a CD or a DVD and share that, effectively the same website as if you were going to upload it with your friends and family. So when we generate HTML files, there's a couple of objectives we need to keep in mind. One is to either keep your file download time short, thus you have small file sizes, and you also want to have your navigation links clearly identified, both forward links and backward links. As I mentioned before, there is software available to generate HTML files. There are GEDCOM to HTML generators, and we'll list a few of these in a minute. TMG V6, which is no longer relevant, and so I removed it from this discussion. A similar presentation I made a couple years ago included TMG V6. TMG V7, we're going to compare TMG's web pages with Second Sight's web pages. And then, of course, Second Sight, which is what we're going to use and demonstrate. Okay, so let's first look at GEDCOM to HTML generators. Most of these are not free, but you must export the TMG project to GEDCOM. And there are several disadvantages to this. There is an extra step in the process, that is the actual exporting of the project to GEDCOM. There is no support for a lot of TMG's narrative sentences. There is little or no support for TMG's citations and sources. There is also little or no support for TMG's exhibits, including images. And there is no support for TMG's formatting codes. And because GEDCOM is an intermediate format to go from TMG to whatever the other software program is, to create HTML pages, there is some data loss involved. So this is just a list of some HTML or GEDCOM to HTML generators. As you can see, they range from free, usually the free trial, and then you can get a fuller version for a few dollars more. When you do get this presentation, then you click on these links and go to those websites if you're interested. Further reading, I would highly recommend these articles. These are Dick Eastman's articles that were published on Ancestry.com. I think that's where he works now, where mostly works. So when you click on these, I would actually print these articles out and read more about those if you're interested in GEDCOM HTML generators. So TMGV7 can generate HTML files. There's no additional cost because we have the program. Second Sight costs about $30, but we'll see what we can get. We can get excellent pages, get good support from John Cardinal. We have unlimited images, and we have, or John continues his enhancement. The latest version, I think, is 3.3. So, let's compare Second Sight and TMGV7. First of all, are HTML reports a good choice? Well, it depends on what you want to use them for. So let's look at some criteria here. TMGV7 reports use the standard genealogical formats, so that's good. The page sizes are not configurable in TMGV7 HTML reports. Exhibits are either all embedded on web pages or they're not supported in TMGV7 HTML reports. There is no built-in support for custom pages in TMGV7. And there's no built-in support for links between charts and between the narratives in TMGV7's reports. So let's examine these criteria in a little bit more detail. Okay, the first criterion was reports use standard genealogical formats. Okay, so we see that the HTML reports generated by TMGV7 have formats that are quite familiar with most of us since we are users of TMG. And we easily understand them, and they're accepted by most of the genealogical community. However, Second Sight formats were designed with the internet in mind. Reports created by Second Sight were designed to be browsed in a random fashion, similar to the way we browse other websites. Second Sight supports static page links, so that we can perform our random browsing of the web pages. And the graphic formats that are used on the web pages that Second Sight creates are configurable. We'll see that in our demonstration too. Okay, the second criterion was page sizes are not configurable. This indeed is true. And in the HTML reports that TMGV7 creates, we see that pagination is based upon how TMG creates the corresponding printed output or printed report. We'll see that in a few minutes. However, in web pages that Second Sight creates, we will see that pagination is based upon factors associated with the internet. That is, the file page download time and the random access nature of browsing through websites on the internet. And I think we're all familiar with that as we all are probably get online, if not daily, then a little less often, but we always go to certain web pages and we can browse those because the links are either underlined or else shown in some other fashion. Third criterion is that exhibits are embedded in the web page or they're not supported at all. Only some report formats from TMGV7 HTML reports support exhibits embedded in web pages. But Second Sight includes multiple exhibit handling options, as we see here on this first bullet, and it recognizes the web-friendly exhibit file formats, and we'll see some of those in our demonstration. Another criterion was no built-in support for custom pages. This is something that there is no explicit support for in TMG. However, you can manually create some additional HTML web pages and integrate them into the website the website pages created by Second Sight. And a couple of the web sites that I've downloaded at least the first page or two, we're going to see that. Another criterion is if there's no built-in support for links between charts and narratives. In TMG, charts are totally separate reports. We know that because VCF is the way we generate most of those charts. But in Second Sight includes both charts, not VCF charts, by the way, and narratives that include two-way links between the two sets. This is just a screen capture of one of the pages to create a report in HTML with V7. We'll see that when we actually go through the creation. But the thing I wanted to point out here on the report definition screen for a journal report is that we do the save. We click the button, the radio button called Save To, File Type, and the drop-down list will say Hypertext Markup Language, which is HTML, and then in the file name will actually browse using this dot feature to where we want to store it. Then there's some options too, one or two options which we want to get to. And one of those options in the report option screen is under publication tools. We can either do one file per generation or one file per progenitor. I think we're most of us are familiar with the report option for the journal report, one file per generation. All the people in that particular generation are listed in a page or one file, and the other one is one file per progenitor. So it turns out that the files are larger if a particular person has a lot of children on that page. And this is a screen capture of generating a site with Second Sight, and we'll go through all of these when we get to that demonstration. Okay, obviously after we create a website, one of the things we want to do is actually upload the information, the HTML pages that we've created to the internet so that everybody else in the world can see them. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, here are some options. I'm not a member of Roots Warehouse, but I understand that it's a free service if you'd like to upload your genealogy files there. A recommendation that Dick had concerning this is do not use frames. If you don't know what frames are, that's good. Don't worry about it. Other web hosting services are available on the website at this particular place, webhostingratings.com, can give you some help in finding out particular ones. Or you can use your current internet service provider, such as Comcast, Earthlink, Verizon, and so forth. They will probably have provided you with some disk space to upload stuff, and usually that disk space is for uploading your photos and other things. They probably don't recognize that a lot of people will be uploading genealogy stuff, and so that's one of the things that they can do. I'll read this note out here, since it tells me to in my script. Note that all free hosting services have ads that may annoy those who browse your site. And you've probably been to some websites where ads pop up pretty frequently. Fortunately, some of the newer versions of the browsers allow you to block those things so that they don't always come up. I understand that on Roots Web, these appear for each frame, and that's the reason why Dick suggests that you do not use each frame. A frame, just a little side note here, if you've gone, and most of you, if not all of you, have gone to the Rugs website, it has three frames on the main web page. The top frame is that little graphic that says Roots Users Group or whatever it says. The left frame is kind of a table of contents into the things that you can get to on our website. And then the lower right frame is actually the contents of interesting stuff. So there are three frames on the RUG website. And that's what we're talking to about, or talking about frames. Okay, so once you have a website host, you're still not in the... You're still not ready. You have to upload these files from your own computer system. The website files on your own computer system. You need to upload them to the host, your hosting service. This involves the use of a program called a file transfer program. That's what FTP. That's what FTP stands for, file transfer program. One of the better ones, in my opinion, on the market. and is WS underscore FTP. There's two versions, a home version and a pro version. You can download it. If you want the pro version, there's a couple of options on whether you want a lot of support or not a lot of support. And there's the home support, I mean the home version, again, with less for no support and a little bit more if you want full support. But anyway, you must use a file transfer program. Program that has these FTP capabilities. I use one called Core FTP LE, which is light, and it's free. And this is what I use to upload all the files to the RUG. Because I create the files, I'm one of those people that creates the files that you see on the RUG, on the RUG's website. And if you have any problems with that, please let us know. I think there's a email address called webmaster or something like that, at rootusers.org. Anyway, it's listed in the penultimate page in the newsletter. The pro version costs a little more. As we see, it's about $40, but it's worth it. And here's the website address for either of those. There are many, many other FTP programs available. And if you want to see how some of them are rated, you can go to this website. Again, all these links are active once you download the PowerPoint file. You can just click on them, and I'm not connected to the internet, so I'm not going to do that. Okay, you can get your own URL. Back on the first couple of pages, you saw that that Dick had one called cleveland.info. Okay, well, he had to go through a few steps in order to use that, and these are... One of the steps is to register your domain, and you have to select a registrar. Only some will let you have your domain name. Okay, so we go one step further. You want to choose a domain name and register it. As we saw earlier, that Cleveland registered his domain name, which is cleveland.info. Okay, so number one is to select a registrar. Only some of you will have your domain name point to a typical free website. Dick Eastman suggests two, GoDaddy and My Domain, which is mydomain.com. Then you want to choose your domain name, but you first have to check the availability to see if it's you can do things. Of course, we're familiar with many domain groups. .com is used for company names like Coca-Cola.com and so forth. HolyGeese.com. .org is used for organizations such as ours. Ours is rootusers.org. .net is used in a similar manner to .org. But .name and .info are also appropriate for genealogy pages. So we saw earlier, .info is one that Dick Cleveland has chosen and has registered. Then you pay for your domain name. Okay, this is your name. Your name only. .coms obviously cost a lot of money, but .orgs, .infos, and .names are relatively inexpensive. Depending upon the registrar, it can cost $10 or $10 to $15 per year to register your name. In our case, the RUGs, we used to have one that cost about $15. We now register with a different registrar, and it's $8. Then you must associate your domain name with your website. This is something that your internet service provider can help you with and sometimes even handle completely for you if they are also your registrar. In our case, what happens is that they send us some information about web servers and net servers and things like that. And we have to go to a particular website and enter that information in, and then we're all set up. Well, actually, it takes a couple of days to make its way through the internet naming system. So you register your domain name. And here are a few registrars that can help you in registering your domain name. The registrar that the RUG used to use was .nr.com, $15 a year. But as we see here, it does not allow you to register .name names. But we now use www.icdsoft.com. And it turns out that ICDSoft is also our internet service provider. Having your internet service provider and your registrar under the same roof makes it a lot easier. Dick Cleveland uses this www.whatevercomputes.com for his .name domain, However, all the above will register .domain. And these are some recommendations. Initially, Dick made some of these, and I updated them. Roots Web is hosting. It can be used for hosting. It's free. However, there are pop-up ads, and it's not simply something like FiveRoby.com or FiveRoby.net or something similar. You have to use a complex name. And what I mean by that is it's something like, what I understand, it's rootsweb.com/blah-blah-blah/blah-blah-blah sometimes. Also, free on at least some of these internet service providers implies that there's going to be a lot of pop-up ads. Okay, the second choice you have is to use your current ISP, that is Comcast, Verizon, or whoever. They probably will provide you some discounts. They probably already do. And it should be free. Free in the fact that you've already subscribed to their service, either with telephone or TV or both. Usually there are no ads, but the main name might be complex also. What I mean by that is that instead of having something as simple as FiveRoby.net or Cleveland.info, you might have to say something like Verizon. .com/blah-blah-blah/XYZ. Also, the third bullet here, you can register your own domain name at GoDaddy for about $9 a year, but it's hosted at Roots Web, and so you might have the same annoyances as the first bullet shows up there. And then finally, down here at the last bullet, you can register your own domain name at ICDSoft for about $9 a year and host your website there for under $60 per year. That's what we had been doing with the rug, as you can see, $58 a year. And what that did is we got this much storage, 275, I forget what that number means, but anyway, it was a gigabyte of storage. Nowadays it's more. We upgraded to the next level for a little bit more, and I think it's now going to cost us about $75 or so a year. But for that, we'll get four or five, maybe lots more. Gigabytes of memory. The 275, we can have an unlimited number of email addresses. I think we currently might have 22. But ICDSoft on this slide says you cannot register .names websites. For additional information, again, I would recommend that you go to Dick Eastman's columns, create your own web domain, part one and part two. It gives a very clear explanation about what all is needed in order to create your own web domain. And this is just your name. So what exactly does Second Sight do? First of all, the convenient answer, of course, is that it creates a website from a TMG project. However, the more accurate answer is that Second Sight creates a set of HTML web pages from a TMG project. Those web pages, which are files, are related to one another and linked to one another. So what's the difference between these two answers? First of all, Second Sight only creates the files for a website. It does not upload them to your ISP. However, in the most recent version of Second Sight, and you'll see that on one of the pages that we'll see when we go through Second Sight's demonstration, is that you can now do that. Second Sight can now upload them to your internet service provider. Of course, you have to give it all the information. And then another little blurb here about the fact that a lot of this stuff is based on John Cardinal's initial presentation. So why do we want to use Second Sight over TMG? Well, many people want to create a website that is accessible on the Internet. Internet, that is, the World Wide Web. However, you can also create a CD or a DVD that we can share with our family and others. The CD or DVD is easily read on any computer nowadays. And if you have a browser, and everybody has a browser, minimum you have Internet Explorer from Microsoft. And some of us have Mozilla Firefox, and a few of us have a few others. The created web pages are easy to use by both those who are interested in genealogy as well as those who are simply interested in family history. And because most computers nowadays, especially laptops, already come with the necessary software to create CDs or DVDs, it's very easy and inexpensive to produce a CD or a DVD with genealogy or family history on it. But we also want to create a website for our own personal use because it's an easy way to navigate among people, events, sources, and so forth in our TMG. But what I mean by that is we can create the website, but we don't have to upload it anywhere. That website, that is, the contents of those files, will be on our own hard drive, and I'll show you an example of that also. So, Second Sight and TMG. First of all, these are some of the features of using Second Sight with TMG in order to create web pages for our TMG projects. I'll let you all read them. But for those who are going to listen to it later, you can download the file and just watch it. By the way, we do record these sessions, if I remember to bring in the recorder, and put those, which we have right here, and then upload them. If you download the presentation file and download the sound file and play them side by side, most of the time you can understand what's going on and which slide the presenter is being on. Unfortunately, I have been not doing too well in telling you what slide I'm on here, so it doesn't. I go through an editing process on the sound files and take all the quiet space out, or where somebody coughs or says a lot. And right, Jim? Okay, so how does Second Sight work? I'm sorry. Some more technical features of Second Sight are listed here. You don't have to know anything about how HTML works. It's just one of those funny computer languages. But if you are more familiar with the technical aspects of creating web pages, then you might be interested in these particular features. You can create your own HTML pages and integrate them in with Second Sight. You can include page size controls, and we'll see how that's done. There are many themes, which we'll see during the demonstration, that you can use. Themes are effectively groups of template files used by Second Sight to create web pages that are very familiar to look in look and feel. And most of us are familiar with themes because we have themes throughout the Windows stuff. And you can change your themes if you want to. And as you probably saw on my files, I use the old Windows version rather than the newer versions of XP or Windows 7 theme. So you can see all that Second Sight can do for you here. It makes pages, indexes, narratives, and all sorts of good stuff. So how does Second Sight work? How does it do its thing? Like many other programs, Second Sight needs to know what you're thinking when you create your website. And it keeps this information in what it calls a site definition file, .sdf or SDF. Properties, we'll see, are organized into sections. And this should not be new to us because this is exactly what most programs that run on MS Windows do, including TMG. As with TMG, you don't have to know a whole lot about what's going on underneath the program to initially use it. But also, as with TMG, the more you work with it, the more expert you become, there are more and more features that you really want to use. But Second Sight has a magic button. It's called the Make Site command, and there's a button that goes along with it, and that's what it does to create the HTML pages. And there's also another button that you can use, which says, okay, after you've created it, let's look at it. So what are we going to see when we're done creating web pages with Second Sight? Well, the results of several created web pages, obviously. But since we didn't have to do anything, especially entering HTML code, we'll see the complete website set of web pages, and we're going to see some of the extra goodies, including images, charts, and so forth. But before we actually create a website here, let's examine some other people's works. We're going to look at a few that I've downloaded the front page of from John Cardinal's website. We're also going to examine the main web pages of several Secretary Sample websites listed on Keith Winter's website. Did he have too many websites in there? And then we're going to examine Dick Cleveland's website, but he actually sent me the zip file of it, so we're going to look at some of those. Okay, so the examples that I downloaded from John Cardinal's website are these three: Rambling Roots by Diana Powell. The second example was Chris Sackett's website about the Sackett Family Association. And the third one is Raymond Herndon's website about the Denton Herndon family heritage. This is the main web page of Rambling Roots. It's Pioneer Families, Washington County, Virginia, which is not too far from here. Although these links are live, they won't go anywhere because I didn't download all of these files. But as you can see, this is one of the pages that she generated that goes in front of the pages that Second Sight generates. Now, if I clicked on something, I forgot what it was, I would click on. Her other file.
Are you going
to
have to
trigger it? No, I'm not. And I understand it's slow this morning.
She's got a new website. Updated December 2010.
Okay, if you click on something, you get over here to the slideshow, which is a nice slideshow. Yeah, I actually went online, went through it, but obviously I didn't. It turns out that there's supposed to be a little thumbtack someplace on this screen.
You go to the website, you can see that. Yeah. Okay.
So those are a couple of pages that she did. Next one is the Sackett Family Association.
Is the map thing something that's available now?
No, I think she went to, some of the people that do make their own web pages have a little bit more knowledge about what's underneath the things. That was a Google map. There are ways to do that. This is the Sackett Family Association. If you click on this link, you'll go to the association's information web page. If you go to this, you see whatever research they're doing. And so forth. If you click on genealogy, you will then be able to pull up this page, which says what's going on in the genealogy stuff. Notice the text exhibits and image exhibits are links to pages containing pictures and other stuff for additional information. So that's the Sackett Family Association. And then the third one was the Denton Herndon page. Now this is one that that graphic isn't, but some of these buttons here are generated by graphics within Second Sight. This counter is something that you can get from on the internet someplace and add it to your website. Okay, so those are some of the ones that I got from John Cardinal's website as examples. The next one is Keith Winters has some more comprehensive lists. If you went to it, you could probably stay 2 or 3 days and look at some. Anyway, I looked at just a few. The McKay-Conover family, ancestors of William Kinsey Hutchinson, and the Kleist page. So the first one on that one is the McKay-Conover. Okay, you can see text buttons at the top. Click on the image or the link to go to the website. And most people have an email address that they have. We'll show you how to do that. And if I clicked on it, we would go to family.hardyjohnson.com. So Hardy Johnson's family got a .com. That costs a little bit more money. Okay, the next one is the Hutchinson family. Okay, ancestors of William Kinsey Hutchinson III. Notice that he's misspelled ancestors. But the links here are basically to this page, to the surname index and to the place index. And it's interesting, some of them will go right to the next page, some of them will go to these indexes, and then you go from the indexes to wherever. And then another example taken from his page is the Kleist page. Here, Mr. Kleist, whoever's taking care of this, Steve Kleist, kind of nice little graphic. And these are the names that he's taken care of on the Kleist family tree. And again, the links, home, family trees, and surnames. These are two different links, by the way. and then surnames living and deceased, surnames deceased. Again, Second Sight gives you the option to remove people who are living from your website. Obviously, if you create a website for your own use, you want to include everybody. However, if you're going to create a website to put on a CD or DVD to distribute to family members, you may be a little more careful about what you want to include on it. And then the next page here has some miscellaneous websites. I downloaded them and then forgot which of these places I downloaded from, so I just added there. Okay, and those are Joanne's genealogy. This is more like a Second Sight website. It's got this is buttons rather than images. Main page, surname, place index, images, special people, which she added. Some charts, calendars, which she added, maps, which she added, and how to use it. And then you can add this nice little a paragraph or two on the front page. Then the Van Voorhees Association, which calls itself the largest Dutch family in America. Its links are along the left side, and it's got some information on the front page and a lot of links on the front page concerning what's going on with that family association. So you can see, and you use this nice little new icon there. So you can see that you can do lots of things. Usually the stuff that's added to the front page of these websites that are created by Second Sight is special additional stuff, which we won't get to today. But if people are interested, then I can do the necessary research and come up with how you do this stuff. Okay, we're also going to look at three examples of actual code, and that'll be nice and boring for you, that you enter into TMG. We could go to his website if we were linked. However, like I said, I asked Dick for his website. He sent it to me. He didn't send everything to me, by the way, because there are all the PDFs and there are some other subdirectories. But you can see he did send quite a lot of files here. I'm not sure. But most of this garbage is just garbage to you all. So, but there's a lot of files, as you can see. Okay, and if I can find the index. Okay, so this is his front page. It's called the Benner Cleveland Related Families. He's got a ship motif, and there are different kinds of themes. Okay, we'll see. He's got a ship one. As you know, Cleveland had a couple of different spellings, President Cleveland, and then Dick's last name are different, but they are related. Dick added all this stuff here. And if we had clicked on that, that's a way to contact him via email. Okay, so how do you start all this stuff? Okay, well, you go to a surname index. And here's a surname index created automatically by Second Sight. The one that I want to go to is Cleveland, obviously. C, so we'll go to Cleveland, this one here. That brings up, and you notice that it's got a bunch of under Cleveland, then it says Cleveland continued and Cleveland continued. It's probably an artifact if you want to make several pages, but I'm not sure. I haven't researched it that much. But we're going to look at Leroy Adams. Leroy Adams is his father. These are charts that Second Sight creates, and it goes right to Leroy. Leroy Adams Cleveland. And this is Dick, Richard G. Cleveland. Okay, so these are Leroy's children here. These are boys and this is a girl. Yeah. Okay, and the pedigree, and Leroy is there. I guess that's his mother. And there's Dick again. Okay, so you can see those are the charts that Second Sight automatically creates. A lot of information here. Obviously, Dick has a lot of information about his father, historical background, his marriages. He was worked as a ham radio operator before the war, World War I. We click on info. Notice he worked on one of the reserve ships called the Yantic. If you click on that, oops, it's actually going to go to a website, which I don't want to do. And you notice on these, okay, I got this one. No, I don't. That's a PDF file. He didn't send me any PDF files. Video clip. There's supposed to be an icon here someplace. Yeah, you need real video player, real player for that. But it's a 35-second video of Little Roy telling a story about one of his hunting trips. And if you go to his website, it's an interesting little interview. Nowadays, 3.8 megabytes is, well, 600 kilobytes is not a big file, and 3.8 megabytes is not that big a file, too. And here you can see some of the pictures integrated on the web page. And as you can see, Second Sight or some software allows you to put names to people over here in a corner stick. And this is Leroy. Okay, so you can see what Dick has done. Obviously, he has a lot of... and notice that this was not a page by itself. It was this far down in this page about Leroy. So that was one of the things I wanted to show you. I don't have Dick Cleveland's TMG project, but earlier I had gotten a look at it. Earlier meaning the last time I made a presentation. This is what was behind the bio memo. These are actual codes in the memo of the biography tag for Leroy. Okay, now HID is a tag that TMG recognizes, and it says anything between the HID colon and the colon HID, effectively TMG is going to ignore. However, because Second Sight also recognizes all the codes that TMG has, it says, okay, well, I'm going to make a special interesting use of the HID tag. And what I'm going to do, John Carville said, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in a SS colon tag and a colon SS on the other end. And I'm going to allow people to add text. And so what this text is that funny HTML stuff. Okay, this is plain text, of course. And we saw it says online viewer select, and then he's got an href, the search for the Cyclops PDF, and there's an image of the PDF thing, document icon, and that's what it was. So you can see that this appears, well, this is where it was, the fifth paragraph about Leroy. Also in the memo of the same bio tag, we noticed that there was a reference to the Antic, which was the reserve ship that Leroy worked on. Again, there's the HID colon, the colon HID, and then an href to it with that little info thing within the actual text within the tag itself. And then the text, so it went up to Lake Superior to do the installation. And we saw that. And then Dick has a special tag which he created called an Annex Web Tag for a paragraph that he labels video clips. And in that, he has in the memo field the normal TMG stuff, the bolded video clips, then this note and all this good stuff. But since this is a special tag that is not, like he said, is deselected for TMG reports, but he uses it for Second Sight reports. So these three paragraphs, okay, notice the separations by the CRs, 1, 2, and 3, appear towards the end of the information about Leroy. Okay, so now we're going to go through a, what time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Time for a break. Okay. And then after the break, we'll have Bob Voorhees come up, and also we'll go into our demonstration. Okay, so we have a short break. Oh, any questions so far?
I'm curious, how does the Second Sight created website look when you read it on a CD as opposed to when you get it on a web page?
They should be the same because the HTML files, are basically what's copied to the CD or the DVD, and
okay,
so when you click on
the banners at the
right,
top,
exactly, and if the HTML files, when you double click on you can automatically start them if you want, but I'll have a slide about that later. If you double click on the index.htm file, that'll bring up a browser if it's not already open. So if the browser is how you actually do all this stuff.
So you can use a browser to browse through all the stuff that's not.
Okay, great.